Today is Tuesday, February 28th. It is 11:03 a.m. We are beginning the general discussion. At the conference room, we have Commissioners DeYoung and Morgan present with Commissioner Hare away. And on our agenda today is a fact sheet for the proposed tax levy option. So I know that some of the feedback I got in the community so far is it would be nice if we can hand out a single sheet to public, or if we go out, that has stats on it. And I know we talked in one of the previous meetings about, you know, questions and answers. Well, one of the things I learned in grad school, if you do a PowerPoint presentation, the less work, the better. If you can do it in a picture, you give a better, you know, it's easier for people to grasp, it's easier for them to understand. And so I like the idea of us coming up with some bullet points or a graph or something that kind of shows something that we can pass out. I have no problem with questions and answers, too, on there in a format, but I thought it'd be a good idea to kind of just have a work session to come up with what would be on a fact sheet that we passed out.
I think that might be a good idea rather than a question and answer or frequently asked questions. Because you're offering it before, I think what I was questioned, I just asked what a fact sheet for proposed tax levy, and I think what we're looking for is just, like you say, bullet points of what we think are the strong points of the levy. Is that what we're looking for?
Well, in the details. So as we've had questions come up or what we're trying to address, if it can be on there, and then we have a starting point. Okay, here's the information that we know this will affect. And then if people have questions, then we can address questions individually. But I kind of on my own whiteboard in my office, I had the courier here last week, and he had some questions, and I just started writing out on the whiteboard. You know, I started with the 93 cents. What will it get? 185 jail beds, 14 juvenile detention. And so it kind of had a picture there. Then I had the Forest Trust. You know, that's going to cover juvenile justice, which is the shelter, probation, prevention, treatment. We talked about other funding sources, you know, kind of stuff. If even just bullet points here and there, put on there the internal service fund. What's covered? Bomb, fleet, you know, those. All the pieces that are kind of on the information sheet, it's on there, and then explains the public safety fund of what's in there, what's getting taken out, what's left. It's a lot of information, but I think if we address it right, maybe it can be helpful.
Well, I, for one, still don't understand the Forest Trust fund.
Okay.
I mean, I still do not understand it, and it's going to be a pretty good-sized portion of juveniles, you know.
I don't know. It's not enough to fund all of juvenile.
No, it won't fund all of juvenile. It'll take something out of it. Can you explain the trust fund?
Sure.
Do you want to set up here in case we have any questions for you? Because I don't know what it is. And you got to be on the form there.
Yeah, rather than yelling. Sure. The idea behind the forestry trust is to target the revenues generated by our own 30,000 acres of county-owned forest land to target that revenue toward a specific program.
Where does it go now? Does it just go into the general fund?
Correct. Historically, it's just been part of the general fund, and historically, we've been getting approximately $250,000 per year when you get the net, you know, after expenses and after the reforestation and after all the costs of running the program. Well, 2 years ago when we had the big fire and we, you know, the Douglas Complex and the Brimstone and the various, we had a lot of salvage. So we cut way more than what we normally would have cut. And so that,
because
it was damaged, we had to, yeah, within that 2 year period, we had to basically get the salvage. A couple thousand acres, it seems like, I forget exactly the numbers. But we got in, you know, probably $1.5 million more in revenue than what we would normally want to get. Now, of the $1.5 million, we had to set aside $850,000 just for the reforestation costs, you know, to replant the forests over the next couple of years. But it gave a basis for saying, wait a second, we should not just live on the ebbs and flows or the ups and downs of whatever we have in the harvest. We need to smooth that out.
To give a base for a trust fund.
Correct. And so we took that money and we put it in our property reserve so that it could be used to develop our to reforest the forest land and transfer over a $250,000 or so each year for the last couple of years, this year's budget and last year's budget.
And that's sustainable. Now, I've got a question back when we had these big fires.
Yeah.
I probably a question for Steve more than anything else, but how does that affect our sustained yield, our sustained amount that we cut every year? Obviously, if we went to 1.5 million, we went up 6 times what we normally cut.
Yes,
and that's not even out of sustainable yield, because that was specific to the fire damage. So prior to that time, essentially, policy for several years was just to cut to kind of keep some level of forest management thinning here and there, doing different stuff. But it like you said, it came up with maybe $250,000 a year.
That was the average over the last 10 years.
But it wasn't a big deal because we didn't need it. The OSC lands were covering all the county services. So what has changed in the last couple of years, I don't know if Dave Streeter did a little bit when he met with you individually, because he came in and met with me individually. He's done a portional inventory where they did just kind of a study of what do we have. And out of that, they want to do over a 10-year rotation where they assess all the county properties and they do that upper inventory. Of our sustainable yield, the last 2 years, we've cut at 85% our sustainable yield, separate from the fire. Since the fire, we've cut at 85% our sustainable yield. And the end year net has been $500,000 to $750,000.
And that's actually one correction on that. This year will be the first year that we actually go for the full 85%.
Okay.
The prior year is when we actually did the forest inventory and came up with the numbers of saying what is a sustainable yield for our specific forest land. You know, not looking at Douglas or some other Curry or whatever, our specific land. So they did, like you said, the 10%. Based on that, if we do 85% of what they say is a sustainable, which is a cautious or a prudent number, we don't want to, you know, over aggressive. So and then each year, like you said, we're going to do another 10% so that in 10 years we'll have a complete 100% inventory of all our land. But based on the initial inventory, we should be able to cut around 6 million board feet, which is about double what we have been doing over the past 10 years or so. That being said, that hasn't happened yet, and regardless of how sure we are of what that will bring in, we're still trying to predict the future. We're still trying to say, what will that do in 3 months from now, or whenever we put these timber sales whenever we go out to contract these timber sales, what will that bring in? I think conservatively, we were thinking $500,000, $700,000. That should be about a reasonable number of what's going to happen. Still, we're predicting the future, so we'll wait and see. It hasn't happened yet. That's my...
like you said, with the ebbs and flows, we're not looking at having all of it spent every year.
Correct.
You pick an amount that's sustainable so that
you may have $175,000 next year, you have $275,000.
Right.
All.
But you're going to even it out.
Level it out. So.
And that's the purpose of the reserve. Rather than dumping it all in the general fund and then people saying, woo, look at the balance, let's spend. No, we put it into a reserve and we say this is a reasonable amount that we can sustain in the good years, in the bad years. We know we can count on
whatever that number is. And we'll take a certain amount of that.
Yeah.
Were you looking at $250,000 going to juvenile?
Well,
said in our meeting so far, and we've asked that it start down the process. So in 3-4 weeks ago, we said start this process. So I am expecting something coming back from. Well, we haven't picked the number yet, but what we have started is dedicating it to juvenile justice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because there could be ebbs and flows of where the money is at detention, shelter, and the whole system. So just supporting that system, and instead of it just generally going to public safety, dedicate it to juvenile. So juvenile has a steady, a trust is attached to juvenile.
And then let Mr. Goodwin figure out where it needs to be, because that may change year to year.
Correct.
It may change year to year. Yeah. So that's where you leave that up to the department head.
So what's new is us saying we want that money to have a purpose and a point, and that trust is going to fund juvenile.
Yeah.
So it goes to the trust rather than general fund.
Correct, yes.
Okay. Right. It would be great if $500,000 was the city. That would be awesome if that could be the city. That may be able to, or if the levy passes, that could be enough to try to open the shelter. And that would be pretty cool. It's not a guarantee. There's still some unknowns and stuff like that. But one question Arthur asked me on Friday was, do we do this trust and no matter what, that it goes to juvenile? And my answer and my opinion is yes. But that's just he and I talking. It hasn't come before the full board, and that's something that I think that we should have. And I would propose that we do that no matter what. No matter the outcome of the levy, we dedicate this money to juvenile, and we say we are making a stand that we are always going to put our natural resources towards our kids.
I think that's a pretty safe statement.
So do
we move that forward?
Well,
or are we getting the cart before the horse?
What's your thought?
My thought is that we probably ought to have some discussion with Dave Streeter and with Commissioner Hare to kind of, since that's Commissioner Hare's liaison.
We've had this discussion already.
Right.
We've had a motion in this body
and
already.
To move that forward. And I think legal was actually instructed to put something together.
So maybe we need to follow up with legal this afternoon and ask what the status is.
Yeah. And then I think the reason with the Streeter and others is just to try to get our head around what is actually going to happen.
You don't blindside him and say, hey, here's what we're...
And try to get an idea of what this actually may do. I mean, even with our juvenile director, Jim Goodwin, what would $500,000 do? I mean, what does that do towards... His budget used to be, $2.1 million to run detention and shelter. $500,000 kind of is a good step forward, but it's certainly not replacing. So it has to be in conjunction with the levy in order to actually bring back detention and shelter back to what it was at one point in time. So I think part of that issue is...
So if the levy does not pass...
If it does not pass, what does $500,000 do for you?
$500,000, right now, we have, if we're dedicating it to juvenile,
mm-hmm.
then we can put that towards juvenile, and potentially mm-hmm. some of the money that's already going to juvenile could help assist the DA. At the same time, right now, one of the dreams that... if we do not get more beds, one of the things Director Goodwin has said that they can do is they think with a little more, they can do an intake of all of our people at least, and that every juvenile be processed through an intake. And that is something that we're not doing right now. And
not necessarily.
Not lodge them.
Put them up for the night, but at least
for process them.
Get them in the system.
Correct. And at least that way they can get referred to a caseworker, a counselor, it's juvenile PO essentially, and get them working through the system by getting them processed.
Group life counselor.
And that is, so there is still an ability to meet the needs of our kids in our community at a greater level, even if the levy does not pass. However, if he loses more than two positions, he will have to close his doors.
But see, and one point I want to make is that if you just give him the forestry money and as a substitute in lieu of the general fund support, then he's no better off than he is today.
Correct.
He still has only three beds he rents from Douglas County, and maybe you can do some internal tweaks to be able to process the kids, but not really provide them any greater service than what he's providing them today. So in lieu of, doesn't really help the program, but it might help if we say in addition to.
As you were saying on the radio earlier today, it's going to take some time to build up the program. For instance, say the levy passes. July 1st, we're not going to have 9 corrections officers hired and trained.
Right.
We're not going to have 8 patrol deputies hired and trained. And on top of that, the recruitment for resident deputies is going to take a little more attention.
Mm-hmm.
That not only do you hire somebody, they have to be willing to move to the community they say they're going to live in. Or be from there already, exactly. But that means they also have to pass a psych, pass the training, and all that other kind of stuff. It takes time to get that going. In the meantime, what they can do is assign somebody in that area until they get somebody else trained, but they're already strapped. Same with juvenile. If the levy doesn't pass, instead of it being in lieu of, it's like, okay, let's build up. What does he need to do this intake? And he's at the bare bones right now, but what would it take to do that? Maybe the Forest Trust generates $500,000 steady, but we aim at $250,000 this first year so that there's still more in the trust for future because we don't need it all yet.
Right.
That's a discussion that we need to have as far as what does it take to get up to being able to do that. I can't assume the levy's going to pass, but the goal the DA told me when I asked him, what is your goals for this next fiscal year? He said, to keep my current staffing level and prosecute every viable case that's referred to us. Now, if he wants more staffing, I don't know how we would do that.
Okay, so let's go back to the fact sheet.
Right.
We can't put all of this on a fact sheet because it will lose the audience.
Absolutely, but that's where we come down to what do we know or what do we agree on we have. This we know, this number we can aim for. This we know, this number we aim. We know 93 cents will get 185 jail beds and 14 detention beds.
Right. And I think that's where the fact sheet needs to be focused, is what does the levy do? Even though there's some internal tweaks with programs, even though there's some internal money that we can, but that quickly can go into a lot of areas that are I won't say speculative, but are,
well, I think
we're making assumptions.
But why are they speculative?
Well,
if they are speculative, then why are we doing it? We need to nail down those answers.
Well, for the levy, for what the levy will do. You know, forestry, if I had some history on that, I think I'd be more comfortable to say, yes, indeed, this is what we can do.
And I've been told we had 2 years' history on it already, so I'm surprised to hear
we don't. Not at the 6 million mark, we don't.
Okay.
Not at the 6 million board feet.
Yeah.
6 million board feet mark.
I would just caution getting too specific because you're going to get held to that.
Yeah.
You know, if we say, okay, X number of dollars is going to go here, and he's going to do this and this and this and this and this with it. Boy, if one of those things doesn't happen, we're in trouble politically.
Well, and this is the goal. Again, we're talking goals. This is what we can get to.
And I think that's reasonable. That's reasonable to set goals and to say, you know, I think the fact sheet, so that it's consistent information to the public, by the commissioner, by the sheriff,
this is what we feel it will do.
This is 185 beds, you know, 9 corrections officers.
These are our intentions.
One right down the line, separate fund, IFF 8% reduction or whatever.
Let's start with the jail first. Why don't we get the big thing is the jail. All right.
It's 185 beds, and all arrests will be intake.
And shall we put now versus then? Right now we're at 130, right?
Okay.
And post levy?
185.
Just a quick question. By the way, I invited Judy, you know, to be here today to take part.
I'm not going to step in too much, but the portion of the levy that goes to the jail, is it actually paying for 185 beds, or is it paying for the difference between them, or
the whole thing?
It pays for all.
Well, with the exception of we're still, there's still money coming from Senate Bill 1145 bids. So the Department of Corrections routes money to the counties to pay for Senate Bill 1145 bids. That's still going to be there. If they're still pursuing the federal U.S. Marshal bids, that's still potentially there. If the Justice Reinvestment is renewed, the money for the bids, that's still there. So if the levy does not pass, they say there'll still be about 80 bids there that are all contract bids. The difference being we would not be, if the levy passes, the only contract bids we're not going to sustain are the city contract bids.
So, and you said one of the fact sheet things, and then publishers say what happens if it doesn't pass, too, not current.
No, that's a good point, because it doesn't matter what we have right now, because come July 1st, this is one option, this is one option. Or,
yeah,
or we can say now,
column. I don't know
with
if
levy, against levy.
I don't know the legal, because are you saying doomsday, but I guess...
Well,
you know, I don't know whether you can threaten people with that.
It's not a threat.
No, I guess it's not a threat.
Come July 1st, this is what it
this
will be.
This is a scenario for July 1st.
So we have 130 beds today.
We've got, the sheriff said this is what he's going to do with the current budget, no new revenue. You know, this is what he said. We would reduce this, and this. I mean, I would guess that we'd want to confirm with the sheriff, you know, once we put this draft together, to say, you know, sheriff, please confirm that this is your understanding as well as ours. But still, the question would be.
And no levy is 80 beds. What's he say on there for?
Yeah, 80 to 90 bed jail, no county beds.
That means nobody arrested in any crimes. That means nobody on parole or probation violations, and it means nobody convicted in court of new crimes will be in those beds. It will be pretrial only for Measure 11.
And everything you mentioned right there is stuff that if it carries, if they want more information, that's the information we should have.
Right.
But I don't know if it should be up here in the top, in on our fact sheet.
Right.
I think the fact that you're going to have, now you have 130, potential is 185, no levy, it will drop to 80 to 90 with no county debt. Does that make sense?
Or say it again.
When it comes to the jail, back sheet, levy, no levy. Right now, your the level is 130 beds.
Mm-hmm.
If the levy passes, you'll have 185 beds. If the levy doesn't pass, it drops to 80 to 90 beds with no county beds at all.
Correct. Juvenile.
So really simple.
Yeah.
Juvenile, the same
number
is 3314.
And then in jail, right now, in juvenile, it's 3. And we rent
from Douglas County. Yeah, rented from Douglas.
And I've put Douglas County.
There's no cuts, that's the same.
Post levy, if they
have 14.
If it passes, it's
14 local.
Local. They'll have some savings, because we have to transport and rent beds from Douglas.
Correct.
So that'll be.
Those are just offsetting
that's
costs.
A shift. And then no levy is still 3, correct?
Yeah.
At this time, yeah.
Douglas. Okay.
Yeah, I like that, because that's nice, straightforward, clean, but then in a supplementary or secondary, you know, if they want more information,
more
detail,
the more button,
then you've got all
then you get into the facts and figures and say, this is what this is what constitutes county bed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what that means.
And the county beds, they go, what are county beds? I don't get that. Then we have the information you just
anybody that state police arrests.
Right.
Anybody that the sheriff's office arrests, anybody that parole and probation arrests,
yeah,
is what's county bids, pre-trial or post-conviction.
And I think we ought to have a list of what constitutes the 80 to 90, Measure 11 beds or, you know, murder.
It's just the contract, yeah.
Yeah, what those contracts are. If they push more, if not, they may just say, you know, I'm satisfied with that. I think we got to be real careful with plugging people up with a lot of details, because you'll lose them. numbers and statistics are fine, but a lot of people just like simple, okay, now I get it, you know.
Right.
Well,
it is there black and white.
Some of the things that people are asking, though, one of the biggest questions is, how is this helping Navy safe? How is this going to increase patrol in Cave Junction at night mm-hmm. when they have more people on the street at 3 a.m. than they do at 1 p.m.? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So...
I think the stores are open at the wrong hours then.
That's true. They should close their businesses during the day and be open at night.
Yeah,
be open all night.
Except that people aren't using the stores. They're breaking into them and causing damage. As we said about Cave Junction Coffee the other time, 2 months or not.
Okay, so we have jail and juvenile. Then should we touch on DA?
No, we don't have the specific numbers on...
But the levy doesn't specifically address
DA. The language does not affect it.
Right.
But the question does come with, what's left in the public safety fund?
Right.
What does it, we have to answer that question. What does this do for patrol? What does this do for DA? The DA, we're looking at same service level. What he's providing right now is keeping that same service level with the levy.
Because it's a spin-off question, you say, put the DA down there.
Okay.
And now, it's, how many have you got, 11? Assistant?
Yeah, I don't have the breakdown between
let's just use that.
Deputies and the deputy DAs and the legal secretaries. I don't have that.
Okay, but it would stay the same.
It's almost, yeah, there's almost a one for one. It's like, yeah, it's like 7 and 6 or something, or 7 and 5, 7 DAs, 7 or 5 legal assistants, something like that.
Okay. Post levy.
We're cutting half of his budget out.
I haven't seen anything from Ryan to say what post-levy looks like.
Okay, well,
no levy looks like. But we're cutting a third of his budget. We're taking him from 2.1 down
so
to...
So no levy.
Today's 2.1. What's it without
levy? Minus 700,000, about 1.4, something like that.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to say minus one-third.
Yeah.
Of his budget.
Yeah. It's about, we're cutting about 700,000.
You know, we won't get into the 2.1 million or unless we're out. But just say, if we're down, his current level will remain the same.
Yeah.
If the no levy, it's going to be cut by a third. Yeah. Post levy, does he get a bump? Not really.
I wouldn't agree.
Post levy, so
if the levy passes.
If the levy passes, then he stays at current.
He stays at current.
Yeah.
So they're going to want to know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see.
So he faces the cut. Other than that, he stays the same. Right.
And I don't intend to increase.
Right.
Okay, so and he's good with that. I think that's what he is.
I don't have people staying, give me more DAs. I have people staying, give me more
and
patrol.
Proposal.
Yeah.
Another one is going to be courts. And they're all staying the same. We just
we don't give
mandate.
The court money.
State mandate.
Court in the sense of court security or just
no,
the running court. Okay, state funded.
State funded. No money comes from the county for the court
change or whatever.
So this is all kind of in with law enforcement. And they're going to ask the courts is state funded. No change.
They've requested an additional judge from the state.
Right.
But it's not county funded.
Yeah, it's not out of our cost.
Not out of our cost.
Now,
I wouldn't go to court, and here's why.
Okay.
Because they're not in the public safety fund. The whole point of the levy is we're pulling jail and juvenile detention out of the public safety fund, and what's left, DA and patrol.
Okay, let's get courts out of it.
Well, but court security, you know, right now we have
under
two.
Patrol.
It is under, yeah, it's under the sheriff.
Yeah.
So right now he's providing two. No levy, he's providing one.
I just thought that it would be good information to the public to just say, state funded, no change.
Correct, but the court itself.
I wouldn't even enter it into the conversation.
Don't even comment.
Because people don't even think about the courts when they come to public safety.
If they get to meet our judges, they're probably not going to get to vote again anyway.
You don't lose voter rights in Oregon. Felons vote.
Okay, so next is patrol, right?
Yeah.
Now, Arthur has some thoughts on patrol, don't you, Arthur?
Well, so current, he says 7 days a week, 10 hours a day. That's current patrol. That's current. No levy, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. What are you saying?
Wait a second.
That's what he's saying.
How many?
For
contract
patrol,
deputies only. It's not 5 hours, 8 hours a day. It's contract deputies only. Big difference. He's cutting patrol entirely, except for the BLM and the Marine.
Yeah, and that, I suppose you can read it that way. Sure, it says 5 days a week, 8 hours a day patrol, and then underneath it says Marine, BLM, U.S. Forest Service deputies only, move to search and rescue.
So they're moving their building to search and rescue. So their headquarters for the remaining patrol would be out of the search and rescue building to save bomb costs at the jail, is essentially what he's saying.
Yeah, I would have to get that clarified.
I have to write that. I'm certain
11.8 to 2.8 FTE.
Yeah. So that's the difference. Is today is 11.8 to 2.8, and that is BLM, Marine, and Search and Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And those are U.S. Forest. They're
contracts.
The contract,
yeah.
Right.
And he will not honor the CJ contract.
Because he doesn't have enough to back him up.
Right.
Okay.
If no levy, there will be no CJ patrol. Correction. There will be no CJ contract at the CJ patrol is a private volunteer group. BLM, Marine U.S. Forest Service, and technically...
Okay, so post-levy. So we're going from 11.8 FTEs to 2.8, which cuts out all
no
basically
patrol
deputies other than what is contracted for BLM,
Marine Board, and Forest Service.
And Forest Service, okay.
Yeah.
Next question. Post-levy, what does it look like?
So here's the question that is...
You remain at 11.8?
Since
we got current, we've got no levy, and we got with levy.
And
so where are we on now?
With levy.
With levy.
With levy.
So this is the question, is the difference between 300,000 and 800,000. So right now, at the end year, you have $2 million carryover in your sheriff's reserve. Why do we have $2 million carryover? Because we don't know for certain if we're going to get that $2 million each year. So the shared receipt is budgeted, but it's also a carryover to start the next year in case it doesn't come through. Well, why keep $2 million in that? What if we took $500,000 out of that carryover and you use that towards the next year? You can get to that $800,000. So he can hire his intent is with the $300,000 at the very least is to hire three contract deputies that are not contracts, three resident deputies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's CJ, Murphy, Williams.
So he would keep the 11.8 and add three?
If it's just the $300,000. Now, if we use $500,000 out of that reserve, we can get five more general deputies on the road.
So that would mean 16 deputies on 16.8 and three residents?
11.8 plus 8. Because we're talking about 3 and 5.
We're increasing approximately up to 8.
What did you say? 6?
So
if we put 500 out of the reserve into it,
then we're at 800,000.
Can we sustain? Is his reserve going to go up any at all, or is it just or does now his reserve?
Now his reserve is 1.5.
1.5, and then we do that again next year, and now his reserve is a million, and we do that again, and then it's 500,000, and it's gone.
I like the way you think. That's exactly what could happen. What we got this year was actually 2.2 million in shared receipts.
Right.
So we don't know where the shared receipts are going. The best guess right now is that it might dip a little bit next year, but then the optimism says with the new administration in Washington, D.C., that we could get a viable and more sustainable forest plan and those shared receipts would go up a little bit. So
the
we are betting
a
little bit.
If we deplete the reserve over a four-year period of time.
And we just say that the general...
Good bang for the buck.
Yeah, the general fund will cover any potential shortage or any potential catastrophic, event that might occur. We'll have to depend on the general fund. Yeah.
But I think it is worth $500,000.
I do too.
And
so we're going to then we'll add six, right?
So at the very minimum, it's three resident deputies. Then the potential of up to five additional patrol to assist. So he wants to make sure that we understand that he is hiring 3 resident deputies.
That's his first priority.
Right, right. And that's the ones where you say,
Merlin,
yeah.
Okay.
North, and then...
That's a huge difference in going from, with no levy, K-Junction Patrol is gone, we're 2.8 FTEs, and those are all contract, except for Cape Junction. And if the levy passes, you're going to have 16.8 FTEs and 3 resident patrols, 3 resident deputies, right? Because you're going to add 5 to the 11.8 and
plus 3
and
deputies.
The
$300,000 is going to pay for the 3 resident deputies. $500 out of his reserve fund goes to the other 5 deputies, so that'll be 11.8. Does that make sense mathematically?
Mathematically, it does. I think we'd want to go through the calculations to make sure that what a current deputy is costing us, that we can actually say $800,000 will give us 8 deputies.
I'd like to have the sheriff in the room for that.
Exactly. I think he
needs
to go through.
We'll quantify these figures with the sheriff and chairman.
He's the one who told me $300,000 with 3 deputies.
Yeah.
So it's safe to say $800,000.
The question I guess would pose to him is, for instance, I know there is, you know, a need for backup and stuff when you have a resident deputy out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was brought to my attention by a citizen that says, what about a dog for a backup? So are canines as expensive as a regular deputy?
Well, sorry.
You can't use the radio, though.
Here's the thing.
As
a reserve deputy, I've assisted a canine on a search and a track. Their focus is that dog. Their responsibility and liability. Matter of fact, there's a training for $200 for canine handler liability for administration and different stuff. It might be worth having somebody go and see what is the liability by having a canine handler. Because that deputy has to handle that dog. They can't be putting hands on because they have to make sure that dog doesn't attack, doesn't do something else. So having a canine handler means you almost have to have an additional deputy.
He's dedicated. Him and the dog are one person.
Correct.
In other words, he can't just say, sit, and then he goes and works on it.
And he's even less than one person in the sense that he's tracking, he's apprehending, he's pulling the dog off. It's other deputies that are putting hands on to put the cuffs on. Because he has the liability of protecting the public from that dog biting somebody else. He can't be hands-on and the dog handler at the same time.
Okay,
if he's hands-on, dog's in the car.
I'll give that guy the answer because he was just adamant about that.
I love the idea. I just know that there's liabilities to go with canine handling. And if you, when you see what they have to do, their whole purpose is that dog and making sure the dog's on task and not doing what it's not supposed to be doing.
And we had, back in the day when we had canine, we had support from a foundation or Friends of Canine type arrangement.
They were funded by nonprofit.
Or at least supplemented
supplemented.
A portion of that supplemented by. So I would think that would also occur, that we would get some community support for if we were able to bring some canine units.
Sergeant Webb with the Sheriff's Office was a canine handler, so you still have staff on board that is familiar with. He's the last one that was a canine handler that works there.
Right.
City has taken all the rest of them that used to be canine handlers, but at least they have the knowledge. They still have the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. I'm sorry. I misspoke. Jim Geiger had also been a canine handler at one time. So you have 2 deputies over there that have the knowledge.
I think that's getting a little, unless the sheriff said,
I just needed an answer.
Yeah.
I just needed an answer. And that was
a dog cannot put hands on, and it keeps the handler from being
I'm just going to pass this along to this gentleman and say, you know what, sounds like a real good idea up front, but there's more to it than DTR. Okay, next question I have is, I was out at the deal in Cape Junction with animal shelter.
Mm-hmm.
The animal, are they deputies?
They are. Okay.
I mean, they're all carrying packing guns.
They fall under two.
How are they funded?
They are funded through public health and through levy right now.
through the animal control levy.
And they will continue to be funded through the animal control levy.
That'll be on May. It's the same thing. It's the 8 cents per
acre.
Okay.
So that is for public health. The sheriff does have the liability of the firearm training portion of those people. But they are funded through public health and through...
No, okay, so
and they report to
public health.
Yeah.
Okay, so Adam, because I have people, well, you know, he's carrying a gun around, he's got a badge and
yep.
lights and all the other stuff.
The yeah, sheriff...
Looks like a duck.
The sheriff yeah. deputizes them. Or swears them in.
But they're covered from a different...
Public. But they are completely covered through animal... Yeah. Through the health department, public health.
Not affected by the levy.
Nope.
Good point. Not affected by the law enforcement levy. The animal control levy.
Yep.
The animal shelter levy.
Law.
Jail levy.
With the sheriff and his
what
he will get in addition to patrol, is there any, will there be any detectives or more parole officers?
Okay, parole officers are funded through the state.
Okay.
And they are funded based on how many people are convicted in your county. So that's funded through the state. We're still seeing what the state levels are. But that will, at this point, there are zero general fund dollars that go to parole and probation.
Right.
When I was hired, $1 million went from the general fund to parole and probation. And we cut that $1 million from parole and probation in 2005, 2006. And it's been gone ever since. So they're entirely funded by the state. Detectives, at this point, there's no dedicated detectives.
Yeah, and I don't know, again, that might be a good question for the sheriff. If you have levy, would you reinstate a detective? Which I didn't bring it with me, so I wasn't thinking about that specific part of the budget. But he gave me a levy. Well, no, it didn't really. It's just...
I think he'd increase patrol at this point. It's a basic function. Most of the patrol can investigate further if they had to.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, state police and city police are part of the Josephine County Major Crime Unit. At some point, it'd be great if the sheriff himself has a tendency to go in there and help himself. His under sheriff, Lieutenant Snyder, mm-hmm. was a detective,
correct, yeah.
has the training, so it's kind of one of those things, but right now they're just doing
yeah.
basic, how do we... But he had three homicides he investigated. It was him and the patrol investigating.
They can't investigate their own department, so a lot of times that gets
yeah.
over to...
Yeah.
But
yeah.
here's...
Some,
oh, I'm sorry, where it came up, like in our neighborhood, with these compounds, you know, this whole idea that I thought to the sheriff, we've got several driver assigned to your area, but, you know, we can't do as much as we need to. He didn't use the word proactive, but...
But that's where our code enforcement and Julie Schmelter at Community Development and our legal team, we're dealing with trying to increase enforcement of the compounds through
right.
our legal means through code enforcement.
Right. And I'm working with her on that. Yeah.
The other thing I think is worth mentioning is that we've made the point that this levy is not everything that
no,
we want.
No.
It is
$2.80, and you're not going to go there.
Correct.
We're down to the very necessities, and I think that's going back to the sheet again. We've got the jail, we've got juvenile, we've got the DA, current, and a third budget cut. Patrol, we have the facts on the patrol of what it will be. It's 11.8 now. With passage, it will go to 16.8 with three resident deputies.
And I think we need to put something in there with forestry subsidized or subsidized by forestry something, because that's not a direct result of the levy.
Right.
It's
a direct result of juvenile being getting the forestry.
Correct. Yeah, that we're able to.
The forestry trust.
So.
Well, we didn't even finish all the talk about the forestry trust.
No, we didn't. But I'm just going through on patrol. I mean, if we don't want to make this statement,
it's not forestry trust at all. It's
no.
shared receipts. It's OMD shared receipts that would allow the reserve for the patrol and the resident.
I guess it is not the forestry trust at all.
We're not messing with the trust.
Right. Right.
And then if there's no levy, we're down to 2.8 FTEs, which is all contract with with federal and state.
Yeah.
And we could scratch out the 7 days, 10 hours, and the 5 days, 8 hours.
No, it just looked manpower.
Yes,
it's 1.8, 2.8,
and no CJA patrol.
But I think I would say, though, at least for discussion purposes, what does 11.8 mean?
Okay.
Well, what is that? You know, well,
that's an example.
7 days a week, 10 hours a day. Yeah.
It could be, you know, it could be something as simple as 7 days, 10 hours a day.
Yeah. 7 to 10, or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Seven days, 10 hours.
And then animal control. We get to animal control is funded by law enforcement. By
animals.
Is not funded by the law enforcement levy.
Right.
Or public safety fund. It's entirely funded on its own.
On its own.
Yeah.
And then you codify with the sheriff that patrol numbers are right. We need to codify with the sheriff. We need to ask Dave about detectives.
That's not on the table.
Good question.
And the detectives would not be dealing with the compound anyhow.
I heard that somewhere.
I think detectives, if we just scratch it out of there and don't bring it up, I think we'll probably
At this time, it's not where we're at.
Right now, we are trying to get some of the very, very basic.
Right.
And that's why our aim is to keep it under $1.93.
So one of the things I think should be honored, that it's 5 years, because the intent is it's a one-time bridge.
Yep.
Until we can get through the litigation of the ONC land.
Yep, I think that's a good point to make. Other funding sources?
5 years, one bridge, two other revenue.
Other revenue sources, funding sources. Example, ONC.
Yeah.
ONC lawsuit.
If it doesn't happen, is there any chance the jail is going to shut down? You say 80% chance. I hear all these things, and it's like, that
is the jail shut down.
Pardon?
That there is, for people who live in the county,
I think so.
Shy of a murder.
Right.
They're not having any beds at the jail.
Okay.
And so,
in effect,
it is the jail shut down.
Okay.
So the only people we'll be able to service out there are contracts with other.
Yeah, it's important. You know, you talked about these different programs and that, and I think the simplest way to say it is that it's only contracts that
would. It's back. We're not airing anybody. We're just
any money to the jail.
We're giving you the back
because we have money coming in. However,
mm-hmm. Internal service fund needs address. And
And that, according to the ballot measure, ISF, is finance, HR, what does it say?
IT,
legal. I was going to get the order out of it somewhere. Yeah, finance, human resources, legal counsel, and information technology.
So,
and then specifically saying, board of county commissioners
removed or
moved to general fund or just not part of something of that.
I don't know. That's not where it's going because it really doesn't matter. I mean, we're still going to get paid, but.
Well, it is that it's not going to be paid by public safety.
But it's
and
not going to be paid.
Well, no,
right.
It's going to come out of the general fund, but that now means that no other departments are contributing towards the Board of County Commissioners.
Yeah.
Right.
They're heartbroken about that, I want to tell you.
They are?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they are.
Really sad.
They have 2% more in their budgets. But this also means, let's bring up Community Corrections, who is 100% funded by the state. They now will not be contributing towards the Board of County Commissioners. They will be paying towards these other services they use, but they will not be contributing towards the Board of County Commissioners. And who else is mostly funded by the state? Board of Public Health? Public Health,
public
other
health,
than $165,000 out of the general
public
fund.
Public
Works is through state.
Yeah, that's
Parks is through mostly grants and other stuff.
Right.
So all those funds are no longer going to contribute to the BCC. So that's $600,000 that is moving back in the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you, I drove back in the snow last night in my Prius. just so thrilled about getting to do that. It was snowing.
Does it not work or work well? Or
I just slowed down and took it.
It's probably fairly stable because the battery weighs 1 million pounds.
I'm just saying.
Or more damaging to the highways than the 18-wheelers, young lady, whether you know it or not. Anyway.
So, okay. The ISF, do we also want to say then reduced rate, approximately 8%?
I think
10% down to 8%.
What we need to do now, we're off of what the budget, what the levy will do. These are just
no
questions.
This is what the levy will do. Okay. We specifically took the ABC off. ISF is affected by the levy.
Board is removed.
Rate is reduced
from ISF countywide. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The levy wording has the jail and juvenile justice.
Juvenile detention.
Pardon?
Juvenile detention.
Do people want to know, have you heard people asking, you know, what amount goes here and what amount goes there? Or do they?
We are not saying amount. It's roughly.
But that's what's addressed here, though. 185 deaths.
What's the goal? 185 beds and 40 beds.
We're just giving them the results.
Yeah, this levy is a package, and this is what it's going to produce. Because if we got down to saying, well, I don't want to pay for juvenile, I only want to pay for here, do I drop it to 68 cents? No, that isn't the case. Yeah, I think we've had an awful lot of feedback on juvenile.
Okay.
Yeah, juvenile is extremely popular a couple times.
Well, and it's very intentional, not juvenile justice. Mm-hmm. It's not paying for probation and treatment and prevention. It's not paying for the shelter. It's just the jail. It's just the juvenile detention.
And I made a mistake last night on 5-on-5 because I called it juvenile justice.
Okay.
So,
isn't there a center? Is that still closed?
So the center had two parts. One half of it was detention and one half was shelter. It is closed. So we're looking at opening the detention portion.
Okay.
And the portion that we would try to open the shelter is where we're using those Forest Trust dollars to try to open the shelter portion.
Mm-hmm. And that's too complicated for a ballot measure, so we love
whether you get it or not. So ISF, move BCC,
so
10, 8,
impact
10.
Is 10.
10, 8, 10.
Currently
10. With the
10-10-8.
With no levy, it's 10. Okay, yeah, 10-10-8. No levy's 10. With levy, 8. And I would put in parentheses APPX, approximately, because I don't know that it might be a little lower. It might be 8.25. I mean, we could say 8 no matter what, but then that would just be a fix for 1 year or something. So I, you know, approximately. That's what our best guess is. Right now.
All right.
Because I don't know what's going to happen with other. I mean, if corrections gets a big cut, let's hope not. I'm not saying it will, but adult corrections, state budget goes down 4% or whatever.
Then we have to decide whether we opt out and we keep those employees under county or if we get them to
right.
County. And that's our decision.
The VA, the same thing.
Okay, so we're ISF.
Programs.
ISF. And we're 10, 10, and 8. Next.
10, 10, 8.
Next thing on our list. Of
what other?
That's the levy.
So,
on levy.
Bomb was listed. Fleet was listed, correct?
Yeah, there's no real.
But they're not an IFS.
They're not IFS. Well.
Those are paid either way. Nothing changed except.
I think we're getting a little bit detailed when we get
in. Yeah, there's we don't have we're mentioning when the ballot summary is the ISF. We don't
and when yeah when he when sheriff he says he's going to put on 6 deputies or 5 deputies, all that's in there. His fleet and everything's all in the cost of that deputy, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's the theory.
Fleet is paid out of the jail as well because they have transport vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's separate from patrol. So
but that continues to get paid whether they have 80 or 100 or whatever, don't they?
I presume they have transport, yeah.
What the sheriff's been trying to do is look at other ways of getting fleet without it being so costly, but that's a separate issue. Okay. Is there anything else?
That might be something that comes out on their evaluation.
Correct.
Because fleet's a big part of the evaluation.
For what it's worth, I went through last year's ballot measure that was the $1.42 per thousand, and summarized what I felt was I went through the arguments in opposition,
mm-hmm.
and tried to summarize what in these few words what the arguments in opposition were.
Okay, so whether one of them.
Yeah, whether
at a glance, mm-hmm. this would be really good for our upcoming next summer. Our next roundtable, just say, I think we've got the here's your argument. Are these what you people are here for? And
sure.
Just go through these.
Before we get there, I mean, we can look at the opposition and then response and have them both listed if you want. But one of the things that I see on here that we didn't address that could go on a fact sheet is funds deposited general fund so BCC can spend as they wish, or mm-hmm. the shell game. And this will have, by policy or by what, will have its own fund.
Separate fund. I think that's worth a bullet point on this fact sheet. Separate, you know.
Not in the general fund.
Yeah, not general fund. Separate fund.
So it will have its own.
So they will no longer be deposited in the general fund, in a special fund.
It never was.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to clarify.
Yeah.
If it came up on here, it's an issue.
Right.
And it needs to be addressed. So if you don't say, well, it never was, and try to explain that, but it wouldn't be better to just explain the difference and just say, no, there is a special fund created.
I just wouldn't use the language no longer. It will not. It has a separate fund that will be accounted for. And, you know, people saying, well, you need to have a separate watch group to just see that it's... Well, my point to that is we have an annual accounting. No.
Right.
We have an annual audit of mm-hmm. our accounts by an outside independent agency.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with that, we win awards every year that our accounting is on track. So...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so was funds were deposited general funds for BCC to spend as a... So create a special fund to be created. Is that the answer?
Yeah.
Special fund.
Special fund or unique established separate fund.
Or
I would say established fund for law enforcement levy.
And it's not a law enforcement levy. It's
is that
a
not
jail
what
levy.
I thought we
they calling it law enforcement?
It law enforcement, I think, but I think it's just we want to differentiate from public safety
and
criminal
justice. Yeah,
well, for me, it's jail. We're paying for juvenile
jail.
I'll go for
jail levy. I'm okay with jail levy.
That's up to you guys.
But, you know, when I'm now talking
to me, law enforcement is patrol.
Yeah.
And this is a jail levy.
Jail levy.
See, but you're right in the middle of it. You're not walking the streets out here. You know every nuance. And you ask somebody about criminal justice versus public safety, they go, the same.
Yeah.
And law enforcement, the same.
Yeah.
Cop, they're the same. Sheriff, the same. State police, they're the same.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's the same. They lump it all into one deal. That's one of the big things I had up there at Cops, is that Dr. Manross wanted to call it a public safety levy. And I said, it's not. I said, the public safety levy, they just passed, and that was his point. The public safety levy passed, criminal justice don't. And that's why I wanted to tag on to that. And I said, you better be careful with that. Because public safety puts the cuffs on. Criminal justice puts them in jail or prison or whatever and keeps them and holds them. Mm-hmm. Takes the cuffs off whether you're in jail or not. Public safety, without criminal justice, you don't have public safety. You're letting them go. You're catch and release again. But we know that because we work in it.
Well, see, and to me, I hear public safety. That doesn't mean that to me. Public safety means you combine police and fire. Because otherwise you have Grants Pass Police Department and Grants Pass Fire Department.
But
we have Grants Pass Department of Public Safety.
Mm-hmm.
That's public safety to me.
But
so it changes the nuances.
But the thing is, we walk out here, so this is why we can't ask these folks out here, because they really don't care. But if we went down in front of Dutch Brothers and said, explain the difference, did you get a, put a, who's that, who's the guy that walks around the streets, Wayne's World or Wally World or whatever his name is?
Okay.
And you say, you know, what is it?
Waldo's World.
But if you did that, you'd get all kinds of different answers. So I think we need to keep it as simple as possible.
So jail levy.
I think the jail levy is good.
So one of the things I think needs to be on here, and I need the proof from, I need Connie to show me where the average assessed value of homes in Josephine County is $155,000, because I keep hearing that it is. I want to see where it is. Which means the average cost will be $12 a month. per house.
Another question we got hit with this morning on the talk show. Every year they raise it 3%, and I think the law says you can raise it up to 3%. Have we raised it 3% every year? Probably not.
The assessed value?
Yeah. By state law, by mandate.
We asked that question was, my property tax increases by 3% each year, and you're going to get to the compaction. No, we're not.
Compression.
58 cents is always 58 cents.
Right.
Your assessed value is what goes up or down.
Right.
Has
the assessed value gone up 3% every year? I don't think it has. I think it goes up 1.2 or something.
Well, it's dropped over time, too. I mean, there's been a variation, but that's a good question for the assessor to show what value
is down to the same thing. You know, what over a 10-year period or 20-year period, I think as far back as they can go, or the Eve's at 20, is, you know, what has the increase been over that? If it was 1.2 in 2014 and then 1.4 and then, you know, was it ever 3%? If it was.
Well, and here's the thing. That's not as straightforward. If somebody has new construction, it changes the assessed value base, and if they do new
if they make changes
where they have
and they understand that there's things that go up, but the problem is
otherwise
I'm talking to people who can't read a tax statement.
That's
my problem right there. You know, we get too complicated, but to answer a guy like the 3% guy's point, you know, that is not true. It can go up 3%.
It's not the tax rate, it's the assessed value.
It can go up 3%. However, it hasn't gone up 3% except for 2012 and 2014. You know, give them an example when it did go up 3%. The first time it was around 1.5. Just to field their question, because that guy at this point, he was stuck on that 3%. And you tried to explain to him, no, it's up to, state mandate says you can raise up to 3%.
At the maximum, yeah, maximum.
At the maximum, but how has it ever reached 3%?
And that's a good question.
And that's sort of Connie.
You
know, that Connie can ask.
But as far as the fact sheet is concerned, you know, in the ballot measure language, it says that 93 cents per thousand for every 100,000 of a property's assessed value, the tax would cost $7.75 per month or $93 per year. I think that's a factual statement that we can save. There's no
consistent.
It's consistent. So if you got 100,000, it's 93. If you got 200,000, then it's 2 times 93. If you have 300,000, you've got 3 times 93.
So avoid the average and just go straight to for every 100,000 assessed value, it's $93 a year.
Right.
I like that. That is straightforward, and then they can figure out what their assessed value is based on that.
They go to their tax statement. I do too.
Right.
Yeah. And that's one of the issues that false arguments, if I might say, on the arguments in opposition. Tax impact on citizens, item number 2, county rate increases from 11.3% to 23.7%. You know, they're...
What rate?
Yeah, what rate? What are we talking about? And really, how is that going to impact us? So, I think...
You know, what rate is currently 11.3 and what rate goes to 23.7?
From 11.3 to
23.7. Is it tax rate?
Yeah, that was Rafferty said that. Tax rate will increase between 11.3% and 23.7%.
The tax word was missing. So what rate? Got it. So
county rate, tax rate, yeah, okay.
County tax rate increased from 11.3 to 23.7.
Where did you get something like that?
Where's 11.3?
I believe that's the percentage of your total tax bill. Some of it goes to the county, some of it goes to the school district, some of it goes to...
Okay. So that's not relevant to every person in the county anyhow, because where you live, you have different tax. And I mean, over...
And it's only 7.8, it's not 11.3.
Well, it depends on which district you're in, you know, because there's various... Okay. You know, if you're in the city, you know, then they're a much smaller piece. The county would be a much smaller piece, but if you're outside the city... And you don't have any other districts, you know, you don't have a fire district or water district.
Outside, you're going from 11 to 23.
It could be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not necessarily
I'm sorry, I was thinking city. I'm not sure.
And this doesn't need to be on the fact sheet, but this is an argument that could come up, and it wouldn't hurt to have something to respond to, I guess.
Yeah, well, and that argument to me, that's just a percentage of the total taxes you're paying, mm-hmm. so it's an irrelevant statistic. Will the portion that the county is paying increase to public safety? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What has the public said is a priority? Public safety.
Yeah.
However, how do we pay for it hasn't been determined, but it's still been a priority, they say.
Yeah.
Inability to pay by seniors, fixed income, and renters. I understand. Everybody's hurting.
Yeah.
At the same time, I also know that I've bought at least 3 Dutch Bros in the last week. That would pay for this month.
And that's exactly where the $7.75 a month, you know, that's what the impact is.
Here's another thing. I'm going to say this out loud. I am getting so tired of everybody feeling sorry for themselves in Ghosting County. I mean, we are by no means destitute. Yes, there are people in that have fixed income. There's always been people with fixed income. There will always be people with fixed incomes. If you take away the tax, are they no longer on a fixed income? No, they're still on a fixed income.
Yeah.
If you double the tax, are they still on a fixed income? Yes, they are. They're always going to be there, and there's always going to be renters, and there's always going to be seniors. Some of the seniors that I know of can really, they complain. Oh, my God, you want to talk to me? I was on a fixed income before I got this job here. Did I come in here whining about it as I pull up out front of the courthouse in my Corvette? No, I'm not worried about it. But you know what? I'm getting so battered by people thinking that they're in trouble here.
You got fixed income folks in Jackson County, too.
Everywhere you go, there's fixed income people.
So,
well, the Social Security rate is the same. And all of Oregon.
Yeah.
It's not just the same as Josephine County as Jackson County. Oregon has the same rate. And that means that fixed income statewide, they're living off of the same income. How are they doing that?
But I think we also need to be able to say, too, that there are programs that can mitigate that impact,
yeah.
especially on the senior population.
Absolutely.
There are programs that can address that issue for them.
Yep. So, and
without taking away their property?
Without taking away the property. It's just a deferred payment. So that at that point in time, whenever you sell, which you will sell at some point in time.
Yeah. Or it'll change hands.
It'll change hands, yes. You know, so.
There's
an interest rate associated with that.
I don't know that.
I'm not sure what the details.
Is this one picture something that... I know it's to coordinate the message, but will it be given to people? Will it be presented in the newspaper? What? And the reason I'm asking for that is, as you said, we've all heard that we need more patrols, and that is part of it, even though it can't be stated in the levy. But if that, I had somebody say, some kind of bait and switch crap, but basically what it boiled it down to was, I don't want people to be, if I'm going to promote this message, she says, I don't want people to be surprised someday when there's more patrols. I mean, you know, there's such a big part of it that I understand why it couldn't be in the ballot.
But it can be on here.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's important to address
it. And we'll just put it in the newspaper.
Is this going to be a handout that you could take to your group and say, you know what, this further explanation of what the ballot is. I had a guy call me, you should have put this in there. I said, 150 words. I said, there's rules of what you could put in there. And I said, why don't you pop in $350 and put a for or against in the ballot itself, comp it up. But I said, there's only so much we can put in there with so many words that we have, and we thought we'd get the high side.
So there is a couple things that you're asking that I think is important.
I
realize that as Dan and I are making ourselves available to come to public meetings, how do we get the word out? what if we paid for an ad to go in sneak preview saying, if you want a commissioner to come to a group, call this number and schedule an appointment.
Yeah.
Can we put an ad in the sneak preview? Can we put an ad in the Cape Junction, mm-hmm. Illinois Valley News, in the Daily Courier? Is that something that we can do, saying, your commissioners want to meet with you,
mm-hmm.
schedule an appointment? Can we put this information out there? I don't know if we could put that in the newspaper, but we can give the fact sheet to the reporters, and they can put that there. If
I think as elected,
really
you
strong, can. And yeah. I took it to heart that she said that, you know who I'm talking about, how, but she said if I'm going to promote this, and you know, or you're going to promote it, I do not want people to be surprised by the fact that there's more patrols, because that will confuse them. Why didn't they talk about that? So. Because we could say, because this is a dedicated fund and it couldn't be mentioned on the ballot, I think somehow, all of what she said is good, but somehow we have to attempt to get the message out to everybody.
Features and benefits.
Yeah, the patrol part is so essential.
Mm-hmm. I think a fact sheet, if legally we can do it,
yeah.
I think as elected officials, you can make all kinds of promises.
We can make all the mistakes we want, huh?
So, I think
you gotta say that. There we go.
So I think as
what
you
are your thoughts, Commissioner?
I'm just trying to envision it. I mean, I can write some notes on my paper, but I still need to do the layout of the paper,
mm-hmm.
and we haven't done that yet. And so as I'm picturing this whiteboard in the back of the room, I'm picturing what would I put where, you know, that would essentially go on the form of creating. And
well, somebody needs to compile it. I mean, somebody needs to format it.
And that's kind of where we're at right now. But part of me wonders, do we do like a four-square thing where we say current status? Current, we have a public safety fund that funds this. Without the levy, this is the amount we have of the fund. This is what it would be.
Well,
with the levy, you
know. Commissioner DeYoung more or less laid it out that way. Here's the topic,
mm-hmm.
and here's the current.
But how does
no
it answer
levy.
The bait and swish?
Yeah,
because the money's in the public.
Well, now here's the other issue is that I don't know if we mentioned that yet, is that the no reduction in general fund support to public safety. That was one of the issues. You know, you're just going to take the levy and
move
the general fund.
What you're doing it for now, the general fund is going to go away and back into your pocket. That's
right.
How you pad your pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
So no reduction in general fund support. So what we're giving today, we're going to give tomorrow. The same.
That's a good one, yeah.
What is that percentage? It's about 70%.
Right now, we're spending $2.5 million. That's what's in the current budget. That's been in the current budget for a couple few years now. So, I think the promise is we'll continue to give $2.5 million.
Yep.
We'll continue to give 100% of the shared receipts to public safety. So whatever shared receipts come in, whether it's 2.2 or whether it's 1.5,
so we put that under notable. Facts.
Yeah.
Just, you know, because it won't
not
affect
the levy itself.
It's not really levy.
Right.
It's not really levy related, but notable facts, you know, notable fact is that,
yeah.
and if for your information,
yeah.
that the general fund will contribution will remain the same.
Right. No reduction in general fund
and
support.
Timber revenues
yeah.
will also be directed to the sheriff's department. Because there was a question about that. Well,
right.
you should take them and send them somewhere else.
Right, right.
But
yeah.
if we could do it maybe as a notable fact or
mm-hmm.
additional fact.
Yeah. Or just continuation of the bullet points. You know,
right, exactly.
Back.
Put that right
yeah.
down, you know, these affected
oh,
by the levy.
Right.
And then the next thing down is where you're talking. And you put that right below that the continuation of the thing and
mm-hmm.
and that timber. And then animal control is funded by
yeah.
state, and DA is funded by state, judges are funded by the state.
DA is not funded by the state.
DA is not.
His position gets
personally.
His personal position receives a portion of his salary. His entire department is funded by us.
By county, okay. Yeah, we don't say that.
The question is, do we see if the state funds more of his department? The state used to provide about $800,000 support, and they stopped. So why is the state going to stop supporting their own programs? They used to give money for it. They knew they were obligated
because
to provide.
For the same reason we shift stuff to the state because we no longer want to do it. They're shifting stuff back to the county because they no longer want to do it.
Yep. Hmm. All righty. So is there anything else that needs to be on this? I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to start...
on the board.
I can put it on the board. I can start... I'm kind of envisioning the three-column process kind of thing. Current.
If we do a Word doc and just send it out to folks and then...
What I can do is create the form, bring it to the meeting tomorrow. I can send it to staff. I can bring it to the commissioners tomorrow afternoon. Or do we have a meeting tomorrow afternoon? Not until Thursday? So I can bring it Thursday.
Because Chairman Hare will be back.
And we can see if there's any tweaks or edits that need to be on there. So I can do that.
This is exciting. I mean, I don't think the public has ever had the opportunity to be on the same page. They will now know what you know.
Right. Good idea.
Yeah, assume they know what we're currently dealing with or what we would be dealing with.
All right, I will work on that. Is there anything else that we need to talk about on that?
On this subject here?
Correct.
No, not at this time, but I think we've got a pretty good start on it.
So under other, yesterday I attended the Illinois Valley Airport Advisory Board, and then I went to the Cave Junction City Council meeting. They appreciated having a county commissioner there as far as they mentioned you previously and also me attending last night and just being available and answering questions. And one event they recommended attendance at is on April 15th, which is a Saturday from 10 to 4. They're having a preparedness event at the Illinois Valley High School. So they asked, they said, we can give you a table. He said it'd be great to have representation there for the whole day. They can answer questions, have our fact sheet there. If the commissioners want to speak and say anything towards anything, they'd give them time for that.
Sound like Jenny to me.
Well, no. They want the levy represented at that event.
Oh, the levy. Oh.
They want the commissioners there to speak on the levy, have information on the levy, be available to as people are learning about preparedness, they can see how this fits into the bigger picture.
Very well said.
And so I know that for some reason there's another thing on my calendar that day from 12 to 2. I got to get confirmation exactly of what that is. So I don't know if I can do that. They even mentioned have a couple of retired deputies. Well, I don't control retired deputies. You know, it's kind of one of those things, but trying to find a personnel that can maybe staff a table for the day, that if somebody came by, they can answer questions. And even if it was commissioners splitting up the day, one for a portion, one for another portion, or something like that.
Let's kick that around. That's in Simon's backyard, so.
No. His parents' backyard. Yeah. Anyhow, but it is one of those things that where do we see hot spots? You know, you're learning in management class at Law Enforcement Academy, you know, DPST, that you focus on hot spots. You bring in extra patrol. So Cave Junction, Illinois Valley is a hot spot.
North Valley.
We need to be focusing efforts out there. If there's something in North Valley, like... I received an email from the sheriff on behalf of North Valley Community Watch asking if either you or I could come to an event. I didn't see the date of the event, so I'll try to bring that back Thursday.
Okay.
But then Thursday night, I've been asked to meet with a group. And it started off with a Facebook. A poll was posted on Scanner Chat about the levy, and I responded to some questions, and there was some people on there that had some questions anti-levy that through the course of it said, you gave good answers, we want to meet with you more, will you come on Thursday night? And so this Thursday I'm doing that. So I just want to kind of make sure I'm putting those dates out there so I don't forget.
I've got SOS tonight. SOS tonight, and then I've got Methodist, Christian Women's thing out in Cave Junction. I've got that on Saturday the 15th. Okay. So March.
March, Saturday is the 18th.
18th, I mean, excuse me. And so that'll be most of the day out there, because they're really concerned. They're concerned that, you know, we're in trouble out here. You know, their law, their prime thing has just got them baffled out there. So, those are good things we talked about.
See, I remember back, it's been a number of years back when maybe one of the first levees went out, we did town hall meetings. We did one in North Valley at the Ivy High School. North Valley High School. We did one at the Ivy High School. We did one out at the Williams Grange. Of course, here at the Ann Basker, where we did town hall over the sheriff. Maybe, I don't recall that I went to that one, though. But there were ones, you know, that the Board of Commissioners scheduled town halls at these specific locations for the levy. That was the purpose behind it. So just throwing that out there as a thought. You know, we've got a couple months. Maybe that would be worthwhile. But it sounds like you're getting out there pretty good already.
Well, we're getting... I was on 5 to 5 last night, so...
Yeah. Which I'm going to put out there on Facebook.
I emailed that to you.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I attracted it. Yeah, they posted it on Facebook.
Was it okay?
It's a Facebook. It was great. I thought it was excellent.
You there? I told you.
No, I really thought it was good.
It went 5 minutes went so fast. I couldn't believe it went that fast.
Yeah.
My wife said, "You didn't let that guy have a word in edgewise." I can't. I'm sure.
Is there any other matters?
I'm working on the Slate Creek Road deal out there that's been going on with the Forest Service for quite some time. I have to find out from Wally if I'm allowed to write a letter. Their idea of a solution is all their way. There is no solution. There is no bargaining done. I think they're out of bounds. I think they're way out of bounds. And I had a conversation with about 45 minutes to an hour conversation with Matt, Wally, and I did yesterday. From the Forest Service, and got absolutely nowhere. However, he's going to be here on Thursday. So
Forest Service is going to be here Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to meet with Molly. Good. You're going to meet with Wally sooner.
Right. I want to establish a letter. I tried to get across to him that when the lady signed the easement out there in 1976, that it was a whole different community in 1976 than it is right now. In 1976, the Forest Service didn't lock any of their roads, and now almost all of the roads of the Forest Service are locked for what? Vandalism, littering, and to protect federal property from the John Q. citizen. Her, however, she put up a gate, and gave them a key, and then they put their lock on. They doubled up the lock like a regular Forest Service gate. That's not good enough for them, because he says it's blocking access to federal land. Remember, we had the conversation about federal land up there at County College. I said, "Well, I think I have a solution for it." He said, "What?" I said, "You don't like her gate, put your gate in." I said, "Then you can have multiple locks on it, because the Forest Service gate's got a pin down through it and different locks that you can undo all the pins, and you can get like 5 or 6 locks in there, and then have a public key that when somebody wants to go cut a Christmas tree up there, you give them the key, you issue them the key, and they bring it back. You don't have to go up there and unlock it. But she still has security." I said, "I think you need to put a lock in, a gate in for her." Well, that didn't. He said, "Well, we're not going to do that." I said, "Why not? You did it right next door." They have the road split off, and it's no longer Slate Creek. It's her driveway, and she put a gate on it. And then this one over here, going up to Forest Service land, is a Forest Service road, Forest Service gate, right there.
So their land has a gate.
Their land has a gate.
Wow.
She can't do that. I said, "For her security, are you going to be responsible for her security when stuff goes sideways?" He said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And I said, "Then you're kind of off base here." And I said, "I think you should really work with her, as they have done on Foots Creek Road out there with Mr. Hatch. When they wanted to cross his land, he said, "I will let you cross my land, but you will put in a gate. And you and I will have keys to it, and you put as many locks as you want on, legitimate Forest Service gate." And they did that. But they won't do it for her because she put the gate up first without asking their permission. They do have an easement across the property. I get all of that.
So we should...
But I'm going to see if I can write a letter. and maybe...
Well, if it's brought to us on Thursday, maybe we see if it's the whole board.
Yeah, that's what I think. I'll see, and if he's there on Thursday to see, you know, he'll know that a letter is forthcoming. But while he'll be in, I think this afternoon, sometime.
Okay.
Reminded me when you mentioned the Toby thing, 505. You know, on YouTube, that the commissioner's meeting, I've watched it on YouTube, I lived in that, and it's great. I know that's new.
Good.
What if you had presentations or Q&As that the commissioners put together, put it in the YouTube, and had it tell people to go look at it? You know, here's the presentation, here's the story about the levy, and we could even have Q&A people, you know.
Is that something that Dan's working on? Is that YouTube? Is that what he's, you know, the social media guys were doing the other day?
No, he's doing Facebook. YouTube is John at IT. So John at IT has done that. I don't know how you would have, I mean, essentially it would be hold a meeting. It's almost like you'd have hold a town hall of sorts or a smaller discussion. You'd record it and put it out there on YouTube.
I think that's what we had chatted about among some of us doing what sometimes they call them TED Talks, you know, an educational presentation. Mm-hmm. It's just a limited time on a specific topic.
Yeah.
And so
a couple minutes.
Yeah, like 2 minutes, 5 minutes.
Retain your
specific
attention. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, maybe it'd be done here in front of the whiteboard. You do whatever you're going to do or however you're going to present it. But they have those kind of things, and there might be some benefit there. You'd have to set it up, though.
It works, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we can talk more on how to do that. So I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 12:30.